Good afternoon, Andrew. Welcome to Radio Jackie. Today I'm speaking to Andrew Stanley, your treasurer of Weybridge Sailing Club. The club has been in the news recently via one of your members, Nick Stephen, who actually ended up in hospital with a nasty infection of his toe, which actually ended up as cellulitis, which he felt could have been due to dangling his foot in the river when he was out sailing. So what I wanted to discuss with you today is you are an angler, you've fished on the river, well, you've owned a boat for over 50 years and probably fished for as long as that as well. What are your impressions of the river? Tell me a few tales of the riverbank that are affecting you as an angler and a sailor when you're sitting by alongside or sailing on the river.
All right, thank you. Yes, well, My angling friends and I have noticed we're great lovers of the River Wey, which is a tributary of the Thames, and we go to the River Wey very often. And there's one part of the River Wey which frequently, when we have all these very high rainfall, the storm drains can't cope, and we've seen water discharging into the river, effluent discharging into the river with an awful smell. And it's somewhere that we don't really feel we want to fish. It also has the impact of there's a nasty weed that grows on the top as well, which comes out near where the effluent comes in, which virtually covers the river. So that's one example. I also frequently go to Teddington, where I live, Teddington Lock, Teddington Weir, and I see effluent coming over the top of the weir. It just, one can smell it. Just near the Angler's Pub in Teddington, one can just, you know, when there's been a lot of rain, then is when the discharges happen into the Thames, and it's not a very pleasant smell. And also, I don't think it's good for all water sport users. I mean, there are many open water swimmers, etc., and goodness knows what dangers they face when these discharges come into the river. It's a very highly used the area from Weybridge to Kingston to Teddington is very highly used by rowers and sailors, etc., and it's a very a part of the river which I just feel is not, you know, after Nick Stephens and his incident with cellulitis, I feel it's quite a real public health issue.
I think there's an absolute danger. Yes, I mean, the ecological status of the river according to the environmental status was, I'll just go back, I've noticed the ecological status of the river figures provided by the Environment Agency in 2019 that said the ecological status was moderate and the chemical status has actually failed. And that was back in 2019 in particular. Munira Wilson raised the, as a public health issue through the Nick Stephens case at PMQs on the 3rd of May. How did she get on?
Well, she raised the issue and brought it before Parliament. And there's been a lot of subsequent press coverage, and well, it's been front page news, as you know, about the all the performance of the water companies. But she raised it in the House and Prime Minister's questions, and the Prime Minister rather batted it away, saying that the party, you know, his party was the one of trying to save the environment, etc., etc., and then deflected it further by trying to accuse the opposition of not turning up to a debate on some of the changes that his party are proposing. So the public health issue was not really addressed at all. And many that saw that have raised the same question.
Yeah. I mean, you're an angler. So obviously anglers notoriously sit by the river for many hours in what's supposed to be a peaceful, beautiful surroundings.
Yeah.
Have you noticed there are less fish, or have you noticed the fish you actually fish out are looking sickly? Do you think they're affected by the effluent and the pollution?
Well, I personally haven't seen any fish affected by it, but some of my friends told me on the just before the end of the fishing season, that's the river season, which ends in the 15th of March. One of them went to fish the Hog's Mill, which comes into the Thames at Kingston, and he also the next day fish the River Wandle. And on both occasions, he said there were dead fish on the top, or lying on the surface. So he said it was appalling. He didn't get a bite. He was disgusted by the whole thing. So clearly they're urban rivers, but they're being subject to the same issues, stretches of the River Wey and the Mole and other tributaries of Thames are being impacted by.
I understand the River Wey is a main tributary of the Thames. So what's happening in the Thames is feeding down into the Wey, isn't it?
That's entirely correct. The River Wey and the River Mole are the major tributaries into the lower Thames. And most of the effluent it's published by the Thames Water, they do actually show where they're discharging. One can find, if one wanted to look, you can go onto the Thames Water website, and they're the only water company actually doing it. They're showing where they're discharging and how long they discharge. So there is a step forward in transparency, but it's quite frightening, the volume of effluent going in and the length of time it is.
And do they make any attempt, if it's a really particularly bad discharge, to try and clean it up?
I don't believe they do. I mean, clearly I'm no expert, but I believe there's been a significant underinvestment in the infrastructure. There are many factors, but I think the increase in population, the age of the systems, etc. I think they don't have the capacity to actually try and clean the discharge. When the discharge goes into a river like the River Wey, for instance, quite a fast flowing river, and it will the water will pass down the river within 4 or 5 days. So it will come into the Thames, and then it'll come all the way through Teddington into the tidal Thames over Teddington Weir. So it disperses. The Wey is a narrow river, but when it comes into the Thames, it's a much wider, much wider, and therefore it dilutes. You know, my poor friend Nick was someone who, unfortunately, he was just put his foot in a slack piece of water, which tends to be where polluted water just remains. Well, it's quite a stagnant place. So, yeah, so that's what we think happened with him.
It's very difficult, obviously, for him to prove that he got the cellulitis from the pollution, and the hospitals won't admit it because there are lots of causes of cellulitis and you have predisposition to it. But it's a fact that he actually did get an infection having from being in the river. Do you think they're also obviously dredging the rivers less as well, aren't they? Used to dredge rivers to help the flow. Do you think that's also been a factor in the pollution building up in the narrow stretch of the river and reducing the flow so it can't discharge into the wider part?
I think certainly that's a factor. When I was a young lad, there used to be dredgers in certain parts of the river taking up the silt. And I don't think I've seen that for, probably 25 years, I wouldn't say, that I've seen that. I mean, it's the river used to be also heavily, policed in terms of the Thames Conservancy launches. Police launches used to go up and down and prevent discharges from boats, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a pretty, the regulation is probably the regulators, the Environment Agency, they're just not, they don't have the resources as well to prevent, to hold the water companies to account for what they're doing. That again has been put into the press over the last 4 or 5 days. I mean, it's all been there.
Yeah, I think, as you say, there's a lack of policing. There's an awful lot more sort of houseboats also on the river discharging effluent in the houseboats. You're also getting the problem from the water company side, plastic pollutants, people flushing baby wipes down the toilet. And then I think just south of, I think it's Hammersmith Bridge, there's a huge baby wipe mountain. where the plastic fibres have collected and formed a mountain, I think the size of a tennis court.
No, you're entirely correct. And there does need to be some, I think, some public, how would one say, a greater, the public being, have a greater awareness about the dangers of these wipes, which I know some of them say that they're degradable, but I'm not, you know, I'm not a scientist, but I, you know, the evidence is that clearly they're not, and that they're causing all sorts of issues. And in fact, yeah, that is one of, there's a House of Lords report, which was issued in, it was issued in March, which, and that, is by a committee of the House of Lords, which is looking at the regulation of the water industry. And it, that is one of its major findings, that the public need to be alerted to the dangers of these wipes, and the danger, the damage that they can cause, the both locally and going into the river. Of course, you know, you get these clogs with fat, and you know, there can be local blockages which then cause overflows in roads, and it's quite an issue. We had one near here where I live in Tennington.
And what happened there? You had an overflow into the road,
into a roadway, into a pedestrian, into a cul-de-sac, actually. So we, you know, they had to call out Thames Water, and they did actually come very fast on an emergency like that with water going into a carriageway. But I mean, it's a frequent occurrence, I think.
So what would you, obviously our radio listener, Jackie listeners are going to listen to this interview. There's an awful lot of awareness that we can put out there for people to actually protect the river themselves, as well as going to the water companies, going to the baby wipe manufacturers. What's a message we can tell the people who use the river, love the river? What they can they do themselves to look after the river that they love so much?
Well, I think clearly, as you say, the rivers are heavily used. And I think in terms of things like making sure one takes all one's rubbish away from the river bank, so it doesn't flush into the into the river or need to be cleared up. I think that's a message that's been going out to all anglers. I think in terms of boats, etc., I think people need to be made aware that, you know, they just can't discharge, you know, they're not technically, not legally allowed to, but they're cannot be any discharge into the river from any boat. I mean, there are, you know, systems these days which can be used where, you know, so there aren't sort of discharges of waste. And I think the other thing, I think there does need to be an awareness of this issue, and there are reporting lines. One can report a hazard to the Environment Agency via the government website, which reports an environmental emergency. So if people saw something along the river where there seemed to be a real issue, they can report that and formally report it. The only issue that there is the lack of resource to actually go and try and resolve the issue. But our club has had some issues along the river where we have reported certain issues, some boats sunk in the middle of the river, that sort of thing, where we have reported that, and our team have come along and resolved that issue. Obviously, that would have been a major disaster if boats had gone over one another and, rowers or whatever. So there are helplines that people can actually phone and report.
Well, that's good. So moving forward, do you have many more people joining the sailing club and enjoying the benefits of the river as it is now, even though there are obviously perils?
I think the river has never been more used. I'm not just talking about sailing, but I mean, Palomine runs a stand-up paddleboard club. There are canoe clubs. There are kayak clubs. The rowing clubs are flourishing. But I think all of us, all river users, have got to be more careful. You know, we've got to I mean, each club will have to have its own risk assessments tell the users that they've got to be careful in terms of cuts and, you know, trying not swallowing the water and following all the safety procedures that that club, you know, in its discipline lays down. But no, the river has never been more used, more open water or to swimming. I mean, that's the one that will worry me. But people love doing it. Yeah, let's hope we don't get more incidents such as Nick. So that will deter people.
I think it's down to the clubs too, especially the open water swimming clubs, to tell their members, you know, there is a danger if you swallow a mouthful of water that they could get an infection. And if they did have any symptoms, then they've got to contact their doctor quite quickly, don't they?
Exactly. I think that's a very good point. I think any early notification of anything unusual on the skin or, you know, anything that people sort of don't put it off, report it and, go to A&E. I mean, just get it looked at, because Nick was very quick off the mark, and thank goodness he was, basically. He noticed an unusual blister, and of course, yeah, so that was, it's a key lesson, I think, from his experience.
Do you think clubs should go as far as saying, if you have an open wound on your skin that could come into contact with water, don't go in that day, let the wound heal?
I think that is an answer, or certainly there are some waterproof bandages, that sort of thing. I mean, I'm no expert on it, but I suppose I'd be a bit cautious, certainly on that. Certainly if I were a parent, if a son or daughter's got some open wound, I'd advise against having too much close contact. Just defer it until the wound is healed, basically.
Yeah. I think one of the days when you could just jump in the river for a swim, like I used to do. I used to live near Sonning, much nearer, down the Thames towards Oxford, and used to go swimming every weekend. It was like a little beach, and you could swim in the river with no side effects at all. So we have to just be aware that the more you use it, the more it's polluted, and the more people we have living by it, the more chance they're going to get more polluted. And we just need to raise awareness as well as trying to fix a problem. Would you agree?
I would entirely. And I think the more that politicians are made aware of this, the public health issues, the more I think will be done. I think this is what's promoted the real interest in this topic. You know, hearing some real horror stories of public health, I think that's what will change government policy and regulation, and perhaps, you know, give more funding to the Environment Agency who are actually testing. I mean, that their main role is to test the quality of the water, or one of their main roles. And that's what we need, more proper testing all over, so that things can be identified quickly.
Absolutely. Well, is there anything? I think we've said most things. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I don't think so. I think that's hopefully that's given people a bit of an idea and raised awareness, and keep reading the press. It's almost the number one topic at the moment. So, and listen to radio, of course, like yourselves. I mean, topic is number one, I think, on a lot of people's radar at the moment. So, yeah.
It is. Well, we all want to enjoy the river. And Radio Jackie very much has most of the areas in our coverage involves the river. So all our listeners probably use a river in some capacity. So the message is, let's try and be aware of the dangers. Try and keep the river as clean as possible. Report any issues you see. And hopefully we can all work together to make the Thames and the Wey and all its tributaries a nicer place and a lovely environment for people, and not just people, but fish and all the wildlife that surround the river as well. So thank you, Andrew, for coming to talk to me. It's been an absolute pleasure, and it's been a very useful conversation. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
A Thames Water spokesperson says animal faeces from livestock and wildlife, along with runoff from farms and roads, also contribute to the hazards found in rivers. We are the first company to provide storm overflow alerts for inland waters, and this near real-time data is available to customers as a map on our website. Taking action to improve the health of rivers is a key focus for us, and we want to make discharges of diluted sewage unnecessary as quickly as possible. We've committed to invest £1.6 billion in our sewage treatment works and sewers over the next 2 years, and have recently published our plans to upgrade over 250 of our sites.